Hello world, this is CS50 Live. I'm Ramon Galvan, filling in today for David.
Who's lost his voice.
Today he'll be the Andy Richter to my Conan O'Brien. As we tour Harvard campus today, blow glass today, but first...
And so much more in today's episode. But first, a look at a recent field trip.
Recently, this past weekend, we took a trip to St. Louis to visit Launch Code for the first ever CS50 hackathon outside of Cambridge. And our own Shelley Westover has put together a little sizzle reel to show you what happened.
Let's take a look.
So I'm here to announce today that David Mayall and a team of 12 educators from Harvard University are coming to St. Louis, Missouri on March 28th.
We are so pleased to announce the first ever CS50 hackathon that will be going on the road to St. Louis.
I had a dream so big and loud, I jumped so high, I touched the clouds. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. I stretched my hands out to the sky, we danced with monsters through the night. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Whoa, oh, 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 oh.
That was a lot faster than I expected.
No.
And this is CS50, and this is Launch Code STL.
This is gonna be the best day of my life.
The ultimate goal is to get to at least midnight, at which some excellent donuts will be served, and we'll be here a bit longer after that. But you should be proud if you can make it all the way to midnight tonight.
200 or so people are here tonight, and we're all really excited to be a part of Harvard's CS50 and have you part of our city. We're glad to have you.
Okay. End on a joke.
What's the first sign of a nosy pepper? It's jalapeno business.
All right, Chad, I love you. Sorry, bud.
You may also recall from last time, Code.org, a nonprofit that has been getting everyone excited about computer science. And it turns out that founder Hadi Partovi was actually a former CS50 TF, and he wants to say hello.
Hello, world. My name is Hadi Partovi. I run an organization called Code.org. We're best known for our Hour of Code campaign, something we launched for the first time last year in 2013. And in the last 3 months, the Hour of Code has already reached 30 million students, showing that computer science is something that is applicable and something that anybody can learn. It's useful whether you want to become a doctor, a lawyer, an astronaut, or even the president. And those of you who are learning it in CS50 today, you're learning things like how to write a for loop, a repeat loop, an if-then statement, or how to program your own functions, these are concepts that anybody can learn and are fundamental to how all of computing around us works. I myself was a CS50 TF when I first went to Harvard, so it's exciting for me to record this video for you all. So enjoy yourselves. This is CS50.
You may also know that Mark Zuckerberg created the Facebook back in his college dorm room. This is how it originally looked like. Also, you may not know, that the original URL was not the Facebook or Facebook.com.
No, rather, it was this one here.
rome175-29.student.harvard.edu.
Which was the host name of Mark's computer in his dorm room. And in fact, pictured here is Mark with Chris Hughes and Dustin Moskovitz, two of the students with whom he went on to found Facebook itself. Now, Mark comes back to campus from time to time, and in fact, in 2005, he visited CS50 with Professor Michael D. Smith and gave a guest lecture. In fact, if you look really closely, you can see Mark down up front, but let's take a look at a clip.
Wanting to look people up, I think, is like kind of a core human desire, right? It's like, I mean, I think that like people just want to know stuff about other people. So I think that providing an interface where people can just type in someone's name and like get some information about them is just generally a pretty useful thing. So I mean, growth has been pretty good. It was tough to figure out exactly how to gauge it because when we did college, we opened it up at Harvard. Then we opened it up at like a couple of colleges around Harvard. And the idea was always we were really short on money and equipment. So while getting as little equipment as possible, we want to maximize our growth. So we want to launch at the schools that we think are going to grow the quickest based on the fact that the people at those schools are going to have the most number of friends at the schools that we're already at. We took a different approach for high school because we could just launch it everywhere at the same time. So we didn't really know how it was going to grow. I think it's growing at like more than 5,000 people a day, which is pretty good.
For the full lecture, click on this link.
But not yet. But not yet. You can get the full hour of Mark's talk there on the internet.
And now let me introduce a current Harvard undergraduate, Sean, who wants to give you a tour of Harvard campus.
Hi there. My name's Sean, and I'll be your tour guide today. Originally hailing from New York City, I'm actually now a sophomore living in Cabot House, Best House, concentrating in neurobiology on the mind-brain behavior track with a secondary in visual environmental studies on the film production track. Welcome to Harvard. Hi there, welcome to the Science Center Plaza. It's said that over 10,000 people will come through these doors every single day because there's a large number of things you can do in it. So one of the things I love about the Science Center Plaza is that during the summer, it becomes even more of a hub because we have all of these food trucks that line up from all different places in Boston. And in addition, we have crafts fairs, we have a weekly petting zoo, we have chess boards and beanbag chairs. So everyone loves to come out, whether to do homework or just chat or just grab a bite to eat. So looking over here now, we have Memorial Hall Complex, which is exactly where CS50 lectures are held. So if you want to follow me to our next stop, we'll talk more about it there. So welcome to the inside of Memorial Hall Complex. Now there's some really cool things about this building that you can see right here. First thing you notice is all of that stained glass. This building actually contains the second largest amount of secular stained glass in North America. Now why? This place was actually founded in 1870 as a war memorial, commemorating the lives lost of Harvard undergraduates who fought for the Union during the Civil War. Now, this building is filled with history, but it's also filled with a lot of cool other things. Some of you may recognize this building. It's actually the place where CS50 lectures take place. So this is actually just outside of Sanders Theater, where David Malan actually gives his lectures. This space is really cool because it's actually three functions. First, there's Sanders Theater, but also below us, there's a bunch of classrooms and rehearsal rooms, and just over that wall is the freshman dining hall, which looks like Hogwarts. If you don't believe me, Google it. But in any case, back to Sanders. So by day, we all know it as where CS50 takes place. By night, this place is also an incredible auditorium for a large amount of concerts run not only by students, but famous performers. For instance, Wynton Marsalis. Last year, we actually had Matt Damon as the recipient of the Arts First Medal of Honor. And then this year, we actually have Margaret Atwood. So there's a lot of awesome things about having a space that's not only driven for academics, but also for your extracurricular activities.
Now this week in tech news, Dropbox has made quite a fuss lately, but I know nothing about this.
Well, at least this tweet went out of late, which if you wouldn't mind reading.
Wow at Dropbox, DMC's takedown to personal folders. This is new to me.
So DMCA, for those unfamiliar, is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and this is a U.S. law that essentially governs the use and sharing, or prohibition of sharing, of copyrighted materials. Now, it turns out this is actually nothing new, even though the internet was a bit abuzz with this story of late. Dropbox does indeed analyze the files that you have in your Dropbox if you attempt to share a file, like a movie that's copyrighted or a song that's copyrighted or the like, because if a company or movie studio determines, wait a minute, that is our movie or that is our song, they can let Dropbox know by sending this takedown notice. Dropbox then computes what's called a hash, which is a unique identifier that looks like a sequence of characters and numbers that with very high probability uniquely identifies that particular file. They then add that hash to a blacklist, and anytime they notice you or me or anyone on the internet trying to share that same file, whereby that same file presumably has the same hash, they disallow it. So this is a very common approach. This has been done for some time. It doesn't mean that Dropbox is snooping around your file. It doesn't mean that they're deleting your files. It simply means that if you're trying to proactively share a file that someone has claimed ownership of, they will clamp down in that case.
That was all above me, but what was it? Recently, we also had an opportunity to visit Third Degree Glass Factory, founded by LaunchCode and Square co-founder Jim McKelvey.
So it turns out that the third degree glass factory was actually inspiration for Jim's company, Square. So Jim is quite the artisan when it comes to making glass, and he actually created these beautiful faucets out of glass in the glass factory's bathroom. Now, as the story goes, a couple came in some time ago and asked if they could purchase such faucets for their own home. Jim at the time wasn't able to process credit card companies from these folks, and thus was born the inspiration for Square, a company that now allows you to do exactly that by swiping a credit card on your, for instance, iPhone with which to process payment.
I have a flip phone. And now 60 seconds of David blowing glass. And now, some work from your classmates. You may recall this from PSET 4's Breakdown.
A breakout, in fact, which uses the Sanford Portable Library, a graphical user interface with which you can make games like this. It turns out you may remember a game like this from 1989. Let's take a look. Now, upon completing PSET 4, one of your classmates had this to say on Facebook.
More than 20 years ago, I bought this similar game, Alleyway, for $25. I can't believe I've created it.
Now, you may also recall recently we headed down the road to MIT's Media Lab, where our friends John Maloney and Mitchell Resnick, creators of Scratch, kindly sat down for a chat with us. At the time, they gave us a sneak preview of Scratch Junior, a new version of Scratch in development that's targeted at students even younger than those for whom the original Scratch version was born. Now, the Media Lab is in the process of doing a bit of a campaign to raise support for the continued development of Scratch Junior. In fact, among the things they're hoping to do
is release an iPad version this year, hoping to release an Android version later this year, and develop resources and curricula for teachers and students alike.
If you'd like to contribute to this campaign, do just head to this Kickstarter URL here, or for more information, take a look at this clip.
We're working on Scratch Junior, which is a programming language for young kids, specifically designed for 5 to 7 year olds, and it's designed with them in mind, so it's developmentally appropriate, and children can create animated stories, interactive games, collages, or anything they imagine.
I like Scratch Junior because there's so many programs that you could make. It's like you can make your own movie.
You basically get to make your own game and do it yourself.
Do you know what that does?
Yeah, tell me.
Makes it wait 50 seconds.
Wow, how did you know?
There's a clock. And it's set to 50.
We designed Scratch Junior to match the developmental abilities of young children. We look at cognitive, social, personal capabilities, and we design the features of Scratch Junior to match what young children can do. We work with teachers, we work with children, we work with parents, and we observe what they were able to do, what they were not able to do, and we went back and redesigned Scratch Junior many, many, many times so it can really be a tool for young children.
That's it for CS50 Live. Thanks to all the contributors and the staff behind the camera.
Thanks so much to Ramon for filling in for my voice today.
This was CS50, and this is 12 Programmers Blowing Glass.
And that's how you make a bowl. This is CS50. And now I made the blooper reel. Fantastic.
When you touch my hand and talk sweet talk, I got a knocking in my knees and a wobble in my pocket.